नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 2 एंटाइटल महाराज निमी मीट्स द 9 योगेंद्रस टेक्स्ट नंबर 37 कंटेनिंग द सेम टेक्स्ट द थर्ड पार्ट ऑफ द पर्पट। भयं द्वितीया अभिनिवेशेतः स्याद् ईशाद् अपेतस्य विपर्ययो अस्मृति तन्मायया। अतः बुध आभजेत् तम् भक्त्या एकया ईशं गुरुदेवात्मा। भयं द्वितीया अभिनिवेशतः स्यात् ईशादपेतस्य विपर्ययो स्मृतिः तन्मायया। अतः बुधा आभजेतम् भक्त्या एकया ईशं गुरुदेवतात्मा। भयं द्वितीया अभिनिवेशतस्य ईशादपेतस्य विपर्ययो स्मृतिः तन्माययतो अबुधा अभजे त्वम् भक्त्या एकैषां गुरुदेवतात्मा। भयं द्वितीयाभिनिवेश तथा स्यात् ईशादपेतस्य विपर्ययो स्मृतिः तन्माययतो बुध अभजेतम् भक्त्या एकैषां गुरुदेवतात्मा। तस्य विपर्ययो स्मृतिः ईशादपेतस्य विपर्ययो स्मृति तन्माययातो बुध आभजेतम् भक्तेर्येषां गुरुदेवतात्मा। द्वितीयाभिनिवेशतस्य अपेतस्य विपर्ययो स्मृति तन्माययातो अभजेतम् Shyam Guru Devatatma. Mataji. Hayam Dutiya Adhani Visheta. Tanmayaya to abhudha abhajetam. Bhaktyaye Sham Guru Devatatma. Vyamritya Aneveshitasya. Ishadapetasya Viparyayo Smriti. Maya tam yubhada bhajetam. Uttai kaye shambhu devatatma. Bhayam, fear, dvitiya, in something seeming to be other than the Lord. Abhineveshetaha, because of absorption. Syat, it will arise. Ishat, from the Supreme Lord. Apetasya, for one who has turned away. Viparyayaha, misidentification. Asmatihi, forgetfulness. Tat, of the Lord. Mayaya, by the illusory energy. Ataha, therefore. Buddhaha, an intelligent person. Abhajet, should worship fully. Tam, him. Bhaktya, with devotion. Ekaya, unalloyed. Isham, the Lord. Guru Devatatma, one who sees his own spiritual master as his Lord and very soul. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Shri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation, fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as a material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency for illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and his very life and soul. The third section of the purport we are reading today. The living entity is by nature pleasure-seeking, anandamaya. Now we are suffering because we are falsely seeking pleasure on the material platform, and as a result we are becoming entangled in the painful complexities of material existence. But if we try to give up the pleasure seeking propensity altogether, we shall eventually become frustrated and return to the platform of material pleasure seeking. Although there is eternal existence on the Brahman platform of impersonal realization, there is no ananda. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. In the Vaikuntha planets, there is actual spiritual ananda. Krishna is there in his ecstatic spiritual form, surrounded by his blissful associates, all of them eternally full of bliss and knowledge. And they have nothing to do with the material existence. In the spiritual planets, even the scenery and the birds and animals are fully conscious of Krishna and are absorbed in transcendental bliss. Yat gatvana nivartante tat dhama paramam mama. Bhagavad Gita 15.6. One who goes to the blissful spiritual planet of Krishna will be fully satisfied and never come back to the material platform. Therefore, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has said, Kim chatra bhaktair samsara bandhana bhetavyam. Only the bhakta actually becomes free from fear. In this connection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has emphasized the necessity of accepting a bona fide spiritual master who is Rajendra Nandana Preshta, the dearmost servitor of the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna. The bona fide spiritual master is completely free of envy. of other living entities, and therefore he freely distributes knowledge of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the living entities who are inimical to the service of the Lord somehow hear this knowledge submissively, they become free from the illusory potency of the Lord, which has covered them and thrown them into various miserable species of life. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by the mercy of the spiritual master, the faithful disciple gradually realizes a transcendental position of Lord Narayan, who is served with great awe and reverence by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. As the disciple's transcendental knowledge gradually increases, even the Paramaishwarya, or the supreme opulence of the Lord of Vaikuntha, becomes pale in the light of the beauty of Govinda Krishna. Govinda has inconceivable potency to enchant and give pleasure, and by the mercy of the spiritual master, the disciple gradually develops his own blissful relationship or rasa with Govinda. Having understood the blissful pastimes of Lakshmi Narayan, Sri Sita Ram, Rukmini Dwarkadish, and finally Lord Krishna himself, the purified living entity is given the unique privilege of participating directly in the devotional service of Krishna, who becomes his only object and shelter. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Datati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Dalita Sri Vishakamitamscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Daina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Galbaduru Vyascha Gripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishyavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhayam Dvitiya Abhine Vishita Asyad Ishadapi Tasya Viparya Smritihi Tan Maya Yato Buddha Abhajetam Bhaktaite Shyam Guru Devatatma. Fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency for illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and his very life and soul. The ongoing narration of Maharaj Nimi getting the instructions in the parampara of Bhagavad Dharma, as recounted by Narad Muni conversing with Vasudev, is an excellent example of how Narad Muni, a very self-realized soul, preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam, is quoting someone else's Bhagavatam shlokas. He could have made his own Bhagavatam and spoken to Vasudev. But he is recounting a previous narration in honor of the listener and in honor of the speaker. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the listener or the hearer is more glorified. Why? Because the listener has a choice to leave. Speaker does not have any choice. He is bound by the Bhagavad Dharma to the Vyasasana or to the Vyaspeet. But the glory is of the speaker, of the hearer, who despite their freedom to live in great attachment, hears. And therefore, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is a privilege. As Sankirtan Prabhu was mentioning yesterday, it is not a formality for attendance. And therefore, Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya, it is not said that Nityam Bhagavat class, part. It is not a part or a satsang. Therefore, when you say Bhagavat Katha or satsang, actually in our sampradaya, there are hardly any. Satsang was regularly meeting each other, and that was satsang. I mean, in course of daily acquaintance. The Bhagavad Dharma was Bhagavad Sevaya. It was the spirit of serving Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, in this spirit of serving Srimad Bhagavatam, one will actually experience the fearlessness. Parikshit Maharaj was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and he was experiencing so much fearlessness that he was ready to invite his death. And therefore, even Parikshit Maharaj is quoting Narad Muni, who is quoting the conversation of Maharaj Nimi with the Nav Yogendras, in a spirit to bring that same fearlessness to Parikshit Maharaj. So, why this fear comes? A very graphic example was when Srila Prabhupada was visiting Germany, and he was visiting a harbor, a port, where ships were lined up. So then, a huge ship was being hauled into the harbor. And then, it was a ship which was just a huge one. But how would you park the ship? You would not park the ship by braking or by decreasing the speed. You have to turn off the engines of the ship. It's a huge engine, has a huge inertia. You cannot allow a ship with engine on to enter the harbor. It will break the harbor. It will never be able to park it. And therefore, just so that it can be hauled to the harbor, there is a small tugboat which is hardly 100 the size and the capacity of the whole ship. It will be tied to this tugboat and it will be drawn to the harbor with this small tugboat with a very small engine. Seeing that, Srila Prabhupada said, just see, the ship is so huge and the tugboat is so small. The rope is not that great. But imagine, it can pull this huge ship helplessly into its position. And he said the living entity is like that ship whose engines have been turned off by ignorance. The ignorance means switching off the engine. And what happens? A small tugboat, a small illusory, a small fraction of the illusory potency of the Lord, Maya, can immediately drag this huge, this powerful living entity into its conditioned state of existence. So therefore, the fearful state exists only in the state of ignorance. And therefore, we will find that many a times there is always a consideration of whether to take the risk or not. There's a fear of doing something which we feel that will have an adverse consequences, and I will lose my confidence, my reputation, or my whole initiative, the inspiration. So then, many a times this fear crops up before even the action. Exceptionally like Arjun. The fear was not because of the impending huge, voluminous and qualitatively armies of the Kauravas. It was actually a small ignorance, a very, very small spark of ignorance which brought about a huge cloud of fear in Arjun's mind. And therefore Arjun, though very capable, very much potentially able, could not take a decision in life, could not take a crucial decision at a very critical moment. And therefore it is very important to take decisions at the right time. So this is what this verse explains, and this verse explains not only the fear, the cause of the fear, but also explains how one should come out of that fear. And therefore we will find discussed today the transition from tamas to bhava or prema. The whole creation is created by 5 levels of tamas. As Brahmaji explains, the first is tamishra, anger. Second is andha tamishra. That is the misconception of life and death. The third is tamas, the ignorance of the self. Moha is the 4th illusion, and mahamoha is the intense attachment. And therefore we will find that tamas creates tamishra and andha tamishra, moha and mahamoha. So typically we will find the example of Ravan. So much in the tamas, very very powerful, created his anger. His anger was a constant feature that he wanted to conquer everybody. He was anger towards the brahmanas, towards the sattva, and tamas constantly battles with the sattva. It's a constant fight. If there is tamas around, we must expect that there will be a war with sattva gun. And therefore if you see that tamas, let tamas remain and let sattva exist. Sattva and tamas cannot coexist. There has to be sangharsh. There has to be a conflict. And therefore, it was exactly in the case of Duryodhan and the Pandavas. There was tamas and there was sattva. And therefore, we will find that rajagun means it's an imperceptible and very invisible passion that controls, that possesses. But tamas is destruction. And sattva is maintenance, sattva is protection, sattva is order, sattva is dharma, sattva is sustenance, sattva is justice, sattva is righteousness, sattva is purity. And therefore, the more there is purity, the more there is the intensity of sangharsha. Why? Because more purity leads to a state which Arjun was led to. What was the state? Let me give up my right and let the tamas survive and let there be peace. And therefore this was the conflict which Arjun wanted to resolve, and the fear was caused because of this indecision. And therefore Ravan represented these 5 levels of tamas: anger, free misconception of death. He had asked for a vow not to be killed at the hands of any yakshas, gandharvas or any great beings. That means he didn't want to die. That means he was thinking it is possible to conquer death. He had the conception that death is conquerable. And therefore moha, he was constantly in illusion that this is all mine. And the mahamoha was intense attachment for Sita. He was warned, he was advised, he was constantly corrected by his senior superiors, elders, his colleagues, but he never wanted to give up that attachment. A strong attachment made Ravan obsessed and be ready to give with Satva. So now the whole thing is that this fearlessness, how does this fearlessness develop? Or the fearlessness develops from the freedom of the misconception. And the misconception is rooted in a sort of expectation of a very comfortable and predictable life. Everybody likes to be in a predictable state. Okay, a question is asked to many of them. How do you see yourself 10 years down the line? And everyone will say that, you know, myself as the manager, if someone is a manager, she's going to see a CEO. If someone is going to be a CEO, they want to be a billionaire. And many of such expectations. Very, very predictable. And then very, 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 very expected or very, very predictable life. And therefore, we find that this is exactly what happens when we don't take life as it comes, prepared to accept the challenges of the times, not just expecting things to happen as it happened in the past, or pray or hope for the good future to come. Exactly like the Abrahamic religions would say that the Messiah is going to come and going to the day of judgment and is going to take everybody to heavens or to that other world, and hoping for some miracle to happen, hoping for some avatar to come. Even in Sanatan Dharma, yada yada hi adharmasya glanir bhavati Bharata, but then the Yuga avatar has already come. Now the end of Kali will see another avatar, but what before that? Any avatars to be expected? But this is what causes the fear. The fear of the unexpected. The fear of the unknown. And that fear is rooted in the expectation of comfort, security. Comfort, secure environment. And that is where absence of struggle comes. An absence of struggle leads to a constant weakness that ruins the living entity's aspirations, inspirations and inner potential. The nice story of a caretaker of a temple, of a Shiva temple. He was a young boy, very, very energetic, very, very hopeful, very, very lively person, and he happened to see a Peshwa of that region who was riding on an elephant, and he passed the temple without even stopping to offer his prayers. So this young boy was very devout and he was very very proud of his devotion, and he was very confident that why did this great administrator ruler did not bow before this deity? Why didn't he stop and offer his prayers? So he ran towards the elephant and pulled the tail of this elephant and held it so that the elephant could not move, just by holding the tail of the elephant. And the mahout was trying to take the elephant forward, but he was not able to take it. And the Peshwa said, "Get down and I want to meet this boy." This boy's name was asked. He said, "My name is Ganoba. And I am the caretaker of this temple. Why didn't you stop?" He said, "What do you do? What is your dinacharya? What is your routine life?"
I want to know the power of your, I want to know the secret of your power. What do you do every day to get this power? It's not a miracle, it's a sadhana. I want to know your sadhana. He said, I daily wake up in the morning, I do my dhyana, and then I do my asanas and do my vyayam, I do my exercises. Then when I'm hungry, I go to your chhatram, which serves food to the poor. When the brahmanas are fed, when there is something left, I just go and have what is remaining. Then I come back, I do my puja, I do my seva. And then again in the late evening, I just have my own, again my vyayam, again my exercise, and then my evening puja, my sadhana. And then I retire for the day. And in the lunch also I just happen to go another time and just see if there is some food available. I take when the brahmanas are fed, I just go and have it. He said, you have a very, 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 very disciplined life. But I want you to free you from all the struggles. Instead of going to that chhatram, the food will come to you, but only at one condition. You will light up the lamp at around early morning 5:30 and make sure that the lamp does not waver in the wind. Keep the flame steady. And in the evening, light the lamp again and keep the flame steady till the darshan closes. And make sure if it wavers or even it's blown off, I will punish you. So he accepted. So now, next day morning or before the night, before the next day, the night before, he was worried. His worry was that, you know, I had to get up in the morning and I had to light the lamp, flame, and I make sure that the flame does not waver. So every day he was very particular about this, lighting this lamp and the unwavering of the flame, that he forgot to do his daily sadhana. He neglected his vyayam, his exercise, and the food was coming to him. It happened over a period of 1 month, and this Peshwa again came, and this time he came with his riding on his elephant, and the elephant walked past the temple. Ganoba came and thought that I must hold the elephant's tail and hold this Peshwa back. This time he got dragged by the elephant. The elephant dragged him. The elephant could not hold the elephant. So he was surprised. A month before I was so strong, without all the facilities, and after all the facilities and comforts, I have lost my strength. So then Ganoba asked this Peshwa, how is that? I have lost my strength. He said, see, first you are very convinced what you are doing. First you are very regular, very disciplined, and you had no expectations, and you were ready for the daily struggle and unexpected, unpredictable life, you know, what you will get to eat. You are carefree. You depended on the blessings of Shivji. So then there was no expectation, there was only pure karma yoga. Unexpected outcomes, unpredictable life, but with more discipline and steadiness and conviction. But after I gave you this order, your mind was stressed and in total anxiety. What will happen tomorrow? This light lamp, I have to light the lamp, otherwise the king's order will come and I'll have to face some harsh consequences. In the fear of that authority's ruling, he forgot his own discipline and sadhana. It became very mechanistic and ritualistic. And he forgot why he was, how he was convinced in doing what he was doing. Now his conviction became someone else's rule, someone else's fear, fear of someone else's imposition. So similarly, when sadhana and swadhyay becomes a kind of a rule, imposition, authorized, and with too much of imposition, without person inspiration, over the period of years, that strength is lost. The intuitive intelligence to discriminate, to analyze, the prana, the pranamai kosh, which gives the ability to struggle, becomes lost because everything comes easily. Prabhupada was talking to some sannyasis and he found that some sannyasis were in the temple for quite a long time. Prabhupada said that sannyasis can't stay in a temple or in a place, in one place for more than 3 days. They have to constantly go, preach, meet people, tell them about Krishna and be very actively engaged in spreading the glories of the Lord. So therefore, this state of fearlessness is mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in two verses delineating 5 to 6 steps. The first step is that of shanti, cessation of material desires. Then is avyartha kalatvam, not wasting even a single moment, a state of urgency. Then there is nama gane sadaruchi, very enthusiastic to remember and chant and spread the glories of the name of God. Tad vasati, priti stad vasati stale, to have an affinity, to live in a holy place, not in the same comforts. Like when you stay in a holy place, it's not that we continue the same life that we lived in the city, like we live in the holy place. Holy place means life of simplicity, austerity and devotion. Mana shunyata, freedom from pridelessness. So then, this is how the stage of fearlessness begins, from fear. So from ignorance to happiness is the journey of the soul from annamay, pranamay, manomay, vijnanamay to anandamay. It's not a direct jump. We will take these 5 levels and then we go to the 5 stages of how a person takes one individual journey towards the state of fearlessness and happiness. Is only by shanti. Once Chanakya Pandit was given an order by King Chandragupta Maurya that take these blankets, it's winter time, make sure you distribute to everyone the next day morning. So he kept a lot of blankets with him. It was in the night. So in his hut, along with his wife, he slept bare on the floor and he had nothing to cover himself, but the blankets were lying next to him. So the thieves were very happy because they got a whole stock of blankets. They needed some and they needed to sell it and earn money out of it. So they went inside and they saw Chanakya not having any blanket on himself but loads of blankets lying in store. So he was living simply and they were really amazed, wondered, surprised. They woke Chanakya up. He said, "We came here to steal the blankets, but then you stole our curiosity. And we decided to ask a question and give up the thought of stealing because this was more intriguing and more challenging for us." He said, "Why did you do this?" He said, "This blanket are to be given and distributed to the needy ones and the poor ones as directed by the king. There is no adhikar for me for using any of these ones for my personal use. So even I have the authority and the facility for my personal convenience, I have not even utilized even an iota of it. Why? Because not because I am doing it out of force or trying to show myself as, I am a loyal, I am a dharmic minister. No, because I am satisfied. I am contented. What I have is enough for me. That's what I have lived my life for. Cessation from material desires is the first thing. Not that we want to have so much more that we cannot give. Once we have so much, the attachment piles up very gradually. From little to more, so much so that we will be able to distribute. Actually, we don't want even part a little of it also. It might be possessions, things, my influence, my reputation, I want to gather everything more and more. My control, my power, my authority, I don't want to give it away. The more you get, the more you want it. The more, the less you have, the more you are happy. The more others are inspired. With little, Srila Prabhupada himself never was in any management position. Still he inspired to manage the whole society. And he would say, I don't want to manage only because then is when there is need I have to intervene. Otherwise I would not like to do it. So therefore, and once Srila Prabhupada was going to a nice temple and said, management is required. But what is management? To keep things absolutely clean and spick and span. Inspiration. Everything is inspiration. So basically cessation of material desires gives you inspiration. And what is inspiration? Inspiration gives you urgency. Avyartha kalatvam. You will see volumes of seva. You will see volumes of opportunities. You will see so much knocking on the door. It will be deafening noise. Why? Because the internal noise is over now. You are not hearing to your noise inside now. The disturbance within. Now when you are undisturbed within, now you can hear the voice of Krishna, the voice of opportunity, the voice of advancement, the progress outside us. And therefore one is able to take the risk. Sanatana Goswami, therefore, he escaped from the prison house by employing diplomacy, strategy. And therefore, Nama Gane Sada Ruchi, this is how a devotee, and this is how we find that even in case we are celebrating this 1,000 years of Sri Padmanacharya's birth anniversary, and it was Kanchipurna, he was always engrossed in glorifying the Lord by his seva. Nama Gane Sada Ruchi, he was constantly in conversation with Krishna, with Varadaraj. But in his conversation with Krishna, someone was asking him that, please ask Varadaraj this question, will I go back to Godhead? He said, he will go. But he thought to ask question for himself, will he go back to Godhead? Varadaraj said, no. He said, why? Because you have not served my devotees. You are fanning me, but you have not spent your life in humble service to my devotees. So he went out to serve, ultimately found service in a disguised way as a coward in the home of Mahapurna. He served for a long time until he was discovered, and then he asked the same question to Varadaraj later. Will I go back to Godhead? He said, now you will go because you have served my devotee. Therefore, being close to Krishna doesn't mean that we'll have surety. Being close to his will give us surety. And that's how tad vasati, priti tad vasati stale. To reside in a place where there is constant opportunity. Going to the holy place is not a place of retirement. Prabhupada said, you can retire to a holy place only when you are sufficiently tired. Retired. You have to be tired first. Then you can have retirement. And therefore sufficient tiresome schedule has to be there. Priti tas vatiti stale has to be earned. That privilege has to be earned, not to be planned. We don't have to plan our retirement. It will be awarded to us as a privilege. The privilege will come. So privilege will be given to those who have gone through that struggle, who have gone through that intense urgency. And that's how mana shunyata, one becomes free from all pride. And that's how we find that, in fact, the main thing is that even after achieving so much, are we willing to be humiliated sometimes by circumstances, by people, by situations, and become humbled? In fact, in a typical corporate company, in a corporation, the most prestigious recruitment takes from a very prestigious management institute. And in that management institute, they recruit the person, and when they recruit this person to this very prestigious corporation, they send that recruit, the new recruit, to a village. In fact, one of these alumnus was sharing this experience, and he was sent to a village and he was told to use publicity and marketing strategies without assistance and technology or any other thing. You are on your own now. Do it yourself. So they were, he was thrown into this situation. He had no team. He had no assistance. He had no support. So he was going and doing some strategy, marketing the product of this company, putting up posters and doing some innovative styles. So a villager was with his young boy, son, at this shop when this boy was with this man was putting the poster in his shorts. He was not even in corporate attire. So then he was telling that if you don't study well, see, you'll have to end up one day putting up posters like this man. If you don't study. And then he was thinking, what do you mean not study? I have studied and passed from the most reputed management institute. Do you know which institute? And he was thinking to tell this man, this boy and everyone and who he was. But then he realized, actually, this was meant for me to become humble. This was meant for me to become real. That I have that air of being so superior, coming to from a very superior institution. We may be having that same air coming from a very prestigious sampradaya, or coming from a very famous temple, or being a disciple of a very famous guru. That pride, that prestige does not belong to us, not even an iota. Even in the inner consciousness, we are not going to be defined, we should not allow ourselves to be defined by whom we are belonging to. We should first gain the privilege by becoming what we should become ideally. And that's how Hanumanji explains the whole with his own life, how he went from the levels of fearlessness. The first stage that he goes through is that of being a passive loyalist to Sugriv. He is coaxing, he is urging Sugriv to fulfill his promise to Ram. So he is a passive loyalist to Ram. He is trying to coax Sugriv, and he is not trying to trying to deal with Ram and Lakshman and trying to gain their favor. He is trying to become a loyalist, a passive loyalist. But later on, when he is sent for a mission, he is a loyalist now. He has been trusted now. So there is his passive loyalist becomes a trusted servant. From a passive loyalist, one becomes a trusted servant with responsibility. And then when Angad refuses to go further, Hanumanji gives a lot of inspiration, motivation, becomes a little, grows his stature into a emerging leader, a motivator. But when he motivates, Sampadi gets motivation. The cycle of motivation is like a nuclear reaction. Hanuman is motivating, he is not become discouraged. Even everything around you is so discouraging and depressing, the fire of motivation burns everything and brings sparks everything alive. So his motivation inspired Sampati. Sampati's inspiration again motivated all the armies of monkeys. And then when they reached the shore, it was Jamvan who again ignited the motivation of Hanuman. And from a passive loyalist to a trusted servant, he was told to become a missionary. You will take up the mission. So Hanumanji was coaxed. There was coaxing. So first there was the passive loyalist, the trusted servant, then there was coaxing by Jamvan. That's how he grew to take up the responsibility completely on himself. And then when he came back giving the message and burning Lanka, Ram was very happy. Hanuman did not do much than what was expected from him. So he came from a stage of being coaxed to being compliant. He became compliant with Ram's mission. And missionary does what the mission is expected for him to do. It's like an assignment. He did the assignment and he came back. But then the most important thing was that the next leap was that Ram and Lakshman, they were all unconscious by the Brahmastra of Indrajit. Everyone was lying unconscious. Vibhishan and Hanuman started to search for someone alive. They found Jaman alive, and Jaman was only asking in his unconscious state, on his subconscious state, is Hanuman alive? Is Hanuman well? He said, what about, why not asking about Ram and Lakshman? He said, if Hanuman is alive, the whole army can come back to life. Why? Because he has that potential to bring everyone back alive. He is growing. He is not stuck to his rot. So then, he was told, the next was that Hanumanji was told to bring the Sanjeevani herbs having four different qualities. So when he went there, he had to use his own discrimination, and when he could not understand what to be brought, he brought the whole mountain because he knew that he would take the herbs and bring it back there. A very good decision maker, risk taker. So from a missionary, he became a commander. And that's how Hanuman grew from his stage of passive loyalism to stage of active participant, of active member in Ram's army, in fact most critical role. And that's how Hanuman became fearless in service to Ram. And this way we see the transition. And Hanuman's guru, the inspiration, was Jaman, who allowed him to take the risk. Allowed him, okay, you'd go and you may do it. And how will you do it? It all happened. Hanuman had to do a lot, has to go to a lot of struggle in Lanka. And there was a lot of challenge. Nothing was determined. Nothing was planned. The mission was not. Everybody is talking about the latest attack on Indian army men. An Indian army will retaliate place and timing of his own choosing. There's so much of plan. Hanumanji knew that he had to do it. But how it will happen, how it will unfold, it was very unpredictable. Every moment there was uncertainty. In this moment of uncertainty, one has to have a strong internal resolve, a very strong balance of resolve, capability and sincerity. And that's how he was able to do it. So this whole stage of developing Anandamay Kosh, one has to go through the Sangharsh. The Pranamay Kosh develops the ability to struggle. But unless Ganobai is not strong, he cannot do a struggle also. And the mind is weak, the physique also can go weak. Therefore the mind has to be strong. And when the mind is strong, but the intelligence is very weak, cannot take good decisions, cannot take up mission, Hanuman can become confused and come back without giving message or even burning Lanka. Do not know, I did not find Sita. I was trying so hard. I am a brahmachari, how can I go and search? I will come back. Hanumanji went through a radical transformation. He had to go against his own ashram. He had to, the principle of his own ashram, to see what the mission required. Was he willing to take up that drastic, courageous step? And who was there to counseling all the time? Except his own resolve, his own conviction and his own sincerity. I am doing this for Ram. I am convinced I am doing it for Ram. There is no personal motivation. There is no personal profit. There is only purity. And that's how is the beautiful transition of from tamas to bhav and prem. Through this development of these five koshas leading to Anandamay Kosh. And that's how Srimad Bhagavatam is so wonderful, so dynamic, and awards so much opportunities. The noise has to decrease inside. And for that five levels, Shanti, Avyartha Kalatvam, Nama Gane Sadaruchi, Priti Tas Vatiti Stale, and Mana Shunyata. That's how Srimad Bhagavatam is so beautiful. And one can achieve this state of fearlessness for sure. Gandhara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.